Yate.
Continue this discussion, and we're going to be having this discussion, actually, let's face it, for months, because if there is even a ruling, which there will be a ruling, we hope, it's not going to be here till the end of the summer when we're all sweating and drinking lots of iced tea. But so we're talking about this, and we're continuing to talk about this with Larry Minix this time. He's the president and CEO of Leading Age. Let me tell you what Leading Age is. He could tell us, but I'm going to tell you. It's an association of 5,600 not-for-profit organizations. They say that are dedicated to making America a better place to grow old. Boy, that sounds so good, a good place to grow old. All right, so, Larry, you've had this gig since 2001. So you've seen the real big swing here with health insurance and the law kicking in 2 years ago, now this challenge. How big is the health care challenge to older people? Seems like a layup question. But there are a lot of people that are graying, and they don't really know what they're getting into. So tell our listeners what they're in store for.
Well, as you know, you young people, are, whether you believe it or not, are going to grow old. And so I'm in the gray-haired set myself. We know that most of health care is spent on seniors toward the end of life and increasingly on younger people with complex kinds of challenges. So we look at it through the lens of long-term services and supports. How do you help people stay in a place that they call home with less expensive non-medical kind of services that will keep them out of hospitals and nursing homes and other healthcare settings unnecessarily? So we liked the ACA. We thought it provided for an era of innovation in delivery of the kind of services that will help people stay at home. And we liked it because we have a lot of direct care workers. That's who we depend on, whether they're in working in institutions or taking care of mom and dad at home. Those people are the key to quality, and we believe that they should have the access to health insurance coverage. And we believe that if you begin to look at how services are delivered and orchestrated at the local level, you'll not only improve quality, but you can reduce costs.
And you've seen that this is obviously troubling for many people. They don't understand what they're getting into. I've had more discussions with this lately from people I know where they've had to take a loved one and put them in a retirement center, for example, and there's confusion over even that with the dollars, medical. There's a lot of confusion out there, I hate to say. I mean, there just is in just the coverage and all that stuff.
Well, that's right, and most people have to make decisions in a crisis. Mm-hmm. You don't want to think about your mom or dad growing old. We don't want to think about ourselves growing old. And therefore, when there's a broken hip or the family gets together at holiday time and discovers grandpa's been wandering around in the yard, oh, my gosh, we got to do something. And when we have to make those decisions under a crisis, oftentimes they can be very expensive. We also find that families get in conflict over them. So we've got a situation that everybody is going to face and nobody wants to talk about.
That's it. Yeah, I mean, you hit the nail on the head, and obviously you're very good at this. I was looking at your background and what you've done, and just even in the fact that you're an ordained elder in the United Methodist Church. Why is it that people who are religious are just trying to back away from this whole argument?
Well, you know, the theology comes into play here. There's a lot of cultural mythology that life peaks at 35 and after that is downhill and let's
I'm in trouble now.
So we believe basically that aging has some kind of fulfilling purpose in life. And you see seniors every day. I heard about a senior last week that over 100 years old that it was running a marathon. Another one that jumped out of an airplane for skydiving. I mean, the philosopher Camus said, "It was winter of life I discovered within me an invincible summer." So we got to help people discover the invincible summer stuff as opposed to oh my God, I'm going to need a nursing home, so I'm afraid to even talk about what might happen to me.
Exactly. So how critical is this? Obviously, with your organization, you're here, you're watching what's happening. You don't want to see this thing go down. Certainly, you don't want the Supreme Court, for lack of a better way of describing it, punted and declare it unconstitutional. Because even if we look at the individual mandate, then that means, I think, the whole law would go down if the individual mandate was struck.
Well, if you start pulling together threads of it, the whole fabric begins to come apart. Although much of what the ACA has done is already well implemented. So we're already seeing innovative programs taking place. For example, in Minnesota, we have Augustana, which is an organization that's well established, is working with housing authority and community leaders to help provide better care and services for seniors living in low-income housing settings and living at home. And there's plenty of evidence to show that those kind of models are less expensive and help people stay where they want to stay. The alternative is the 911 call and emergency rooms and that kind of thing. You see the groups like the Mayo Clinic that are featured frequently as providing high quality and less expensive than a lot of other similar settings. So the solutions are there. We're not lacking for resources in this country. We're not lacking for ingenuity. We've had to change the political will, and we've had to change law and regulation to make doing a better job easier to do. And that's what we think the ACA is all about.
Perfect way to say that, making a job. What did you say, making a...
Doing a better job, making it easier to do.
That's it. What do you think the Supreme Court does?
Well, I'm not a lawyer. I don't know. There's certain things in this country that are mandated.
Right.
I had an argument with a Republican friend of mine recently. He said, we ought to do it with all regulation. Okay, then why do we need the federal communication? Why can't planes just take off and land as they want to? Why do we need stop signs? You know, let's just let people, I don't want it to take that far. You know, in a society, there's got to be a balance between individuality and what we all agree to together. I personally think that healthcare is one of those things that everybody ought to chip in, and everybody ought to be able to benefit if they get if they face a problem. We're especially concerned about people. You take a younger person with challenges. The kid that at summer break jumps off a diving board and becomes a paraplegic. Well, that person is going to have to help the rest of their lives.
Right.
And most people in our society has not provided for that. Well, that's an easy thing for somebody to say, well, they should have planned better. Well, how do you plan better for something like that? Nobody.
How would you know?
Yeah, how would you know? And we know that there's going to be a certain percentage of people that Alzheimer's disease has not gone away.
No.
And women do most of the caregiving. There are between 10 and 12 million seniors every day taken care of at home by their families. They got 3.5 people in the family that are their staff. They do it 35 hours a week. They spend $5,500 a year out of their own pockets to do that. Shouldn't we all be doing something to pitch in and help with that? So we think the ACA is the right big step for the next couple of generations.
Larry, thanks. Great conversation. I'd love to be there with
you. If you get old, call me. You know, we want to hear
get old. I want to be there with your friend arguing about the stop signs and all the planes taking off.
Jump out of the airplane and stuff. You're that kind.
Larry, thanks so much. It was a pleasure meeting you.
It's great work.
Thank you. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Gold is like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common-sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2233 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
Your family and loved ones aren't ready for empty grocery store shelves. Will they survive if the system crashes tomorrow? Are you prepared to feed your family when a major crisis occurs? Will they perish from the lack of available food because you procrastinated? Getting self-reliant is the only way to ensure you and your loved ones will make it through the coming hardships. One of the most important survival products that is a must-have is garden food seeds. GetSeeds.net is offering a huge garden in a bag that will give you and your family the food security that it deserves. Our food garden in a bag consists of a whopping 100 packets of the highest quality non-GMO, heirloom vegetable, culinary herbs, and a couple of garden variety of fruit seeds for only $59. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, 100 packets of seeds for only $59. This blowout sale will end soon, so call now to secure your huge garden in a bag that is heat sealed for long-term storage at GetSeeds.net. That's GetSeeds.net, or call now at 877-341-GROW. That's 877-341-4769. Don't delay, call today.
Everybody, Kate Delaney, thrilled to be broadcasting from Washington, D.C. A lot happening, obviously, with the Supreme Court, and we're going to dive deep into that as the show continues on. But even the politicians have to eat, and they have their favorite recipes. Very pleased to welcome to the show, and she's in our virtual green room. We didn't give her anything to eat or drink because I was afraid she would critique it. Linda Bauer, who has appeared all over the place. If you tuned on any of the morning shows, you probably have seen her in the past. Or if you have picked up any newspaper, you probably read one of her columns, or food or travel column. And let's just say she's done it all and been all over the world. So she's got a book out called Capitol Hill Cooks. And basically it's a collection of favorite recipes from all kinds of people, from George Washington to current President Obama, people in Congress. So we're excited to have Linda on the show. Hey, Linda, how are you?
Fine, thanks.
Let's talk about, first of all, before we dive into some of the recipes, the great thing about your book, and this will resonate with America Tonight listeners, is it benefits military folks. Tell us about that. Tell us who it benefits.
That's right. It benefits Helping a Hero, which is an organization that builds homes for veterans who lose their limbs in the war or are badly disabled. Or if they have a home, they'll come in and retrofit it so that it can work for their basic problem.
Wow. And why did you choose Helping a Hero? I think it's terrific that you did, by the way. But how did that come about?
Actually, the first two printings helped another charity that did similar work, and I was so blown away by going and meeting the kids from Helping a Hero at one of their events, and Laura Bush came down and they gave away 20-some homes to these young men and women who've been so brave and such amazing heroes. And I was so impressed with the people on the board. None of them take a salary, and I just have never seen a charity. I've done 5 other books for charity. I've never seen a charity that I love so much. In fact, yesterday I was at the Houston Rodeo with many of them, and it breaks your heart to see some of our young men and women who, one of them yesterday had one arm and that was the only limb he has. And so to see that we can help and make a difference in their lives just by simply purchasing a book, and in the front it tells how to give more to this charity and tells all about it, it's really an honor for me. I've never done anything I've been so happy about.
Oh, good for you. And more reasons to pick up the book, folks, listening to this. The former First Lady, now she likes good food. I've met Laura Bush a few times, classy woman. And I met her first when she was the governor, in the governor's mansion, of course, married to George before he was president. But she's into cooking and into good food. Did you get anything from the Bushes?
Yes, I did. In fact, I have every single president that's in there has some amazing recipes, but I liked some of her recipes were carrot muffins and a really excellent eggnog. And as you well know, she's famous for her hot chocolate, which she served at the White House. And then there's another mushroom soup in there that's from George Bush. So a lot of them contributed many recipes, not just one, which was really, really an honor for all of us to be part of, I think.
All right, so you go from mushroom soup and the carrots and whatnot to George Washington. So we know you didn't channel George Washington. How did you find out what George Washington liked?
Well, you know, if you have the chance when you're in Washington to go to Mount Vernon, they have a restaurant there. And I visited it for one of the columns I was writing, and I fell in love with this food, and I thought it was just so much fun. And I'd been collecting recipes for years to do this book. And so I got Martha Washington's cake and eggnog and candy and all kinds of things. And I have to tell you, it's just such a thrill to have that. I get more comments probably on his recipes than any other one.
Yeah. Oh, you got to love that. So the one that you like the best, though, because as you said, you had all these different presidents. So it's tough to drill that down. But what one did you personally, Linda, like the best?
My favorite recipe, which I've done on a couple of the national shows, is Reagan's pumpkin pecan pie. Being a food writer for 25 years, I didn't think anything could kind of surprise me after all the travels we do. But that is the essence of pumpkin pie, but the goodness of pecan pie. So it's a little bit sweet, but yet it's got that healthy aspect of the pumpkin. And it is so good. You can freeze it. Anybody can make it in a matter of minutes. And you know, my husband worked for five presidents, and he was my favorite. I mean, the parties that he threw were my favorite. So it's a real exciting thing for me to do. And then on the other side of the aisle, I love JFK's recipes. I thought his, as far as anybody's go, were the most down-to-earth, amazing recipes for somebody who had come from such a privileged background.
Yeah, no kidding. Your husband is Colonel Steve Bauer. You said he worked for five presidents. What did the colonel do?
He was the senior military social aide for Nixon, Ford, Carter, and then he had a staff job for Bush and Reagan. So we spent a lot of time in Washington, and, you know, they run the state dinners and all those kind of things. When you turn on the news, the person usually on the president's side who's the introduction officer was my husband.
Oh, you got to meet a lot of neat people, didn't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was really fun. It was a great time, and he truly enjoyed it, and he wrote a book about it at ease in the White House and lectures all over the world, because people love to know that side, you know.
Oh, absolutely. Did you have, because you obviously met some of those people too, we've talked about favorite recipes, did you have a favorite person you met or world leader or celebrity during all that time?
I would tell you the truth is I loved some of the chefs. I loved Henry Haller, who was there during the Reagan administration. I liked a lot of those people because it just blew my mind that they could, you know, produce such fabulous food for world leaders in such a vast quantity. And it was always excellent. And it's just so much fun to know somebody like that.
Yeah, no kidding.
They're really talented people, and they have a lot on their plate.
Yeah, absolutely. So you mentioned in the Carter administration, he worked for the Carter administration too. Everybody thinks of peanuts and peanut farmer and all that kind of stuff with former President Carter. What were his favorite recipes?
And you know, it's a really easy one. It's a peanut brittle that is so good, and I've had a lot of people write me letters and say that's now their favorite. And he's got a toffee recipe in there that's fantastic. So it was kind of an interesting thing, you know, to see what he would do. But his peanut brittle's real easy to make.
Yeah. I love peanut brittle. Oh, you're making me hungry.
Yeah, me too. I know.
How about the Clintons? I don't know much about their food tastes.
You know, I had to call her office 10 times to get a recipe. I had the hardest time. I thought, I'll never get anything. And it really was nice to get that because it was his enchiladas and things like that before he decided to lose weight. So they're really delicious, and you can always cut down. I like the fact the enchilada recipe had skim milk in it. I thought that was really fun.
Yeah. Did you, I mentioned that you popped up all over the place. You've been on Fox and Friends, and you've been on a Martha Stewart show. What was it like being on Martha Stewart show?
That was fun. I did the radio show for an entire hour, and when they invited me, I said, what are we going to talk about for an hour? And, you know, we actually ran over. But it was fun because people can call in and talk and ask you questions about the different people. And almost everybody, even if they don't like Congress, and I know many of us are unhappy with what's going on, is they like to know what that person likes to eat, because these people are some of the wealthiest, obviously, and, you know, best traveled people in the world. And it was really funny to me when we were doing that, so many people came up and said, okay, my congressman so-and-so, what's his favorite? And it was, and it's a taste of America, because I asked them, what are your favorite recipes and why? And so they wrote stories about why it's their favorite. So if you don't cook and you just want to help the troops, buy the book. But the other reason is, if you like to learn a little bit about America,
you can find out.
Michelle Bachmann's favorite has rhubarb in it, because she's from Minnesota. And it's just fascinating to me why they like their favorites and what the story was with it. And on the other side of the aisle, Scott Brown, I had to call his office 12 times to try to get his favorite recipes, and he gave me two great soup recipes. So it was something that I have to tell you, if I was doing this for any other reason, I don't think I could have finished it, because I spent so much time trying to chase these down. At the same time, Obamacare was going in, and so I sent out letters, and no one answered, and then I realized that's what they were, you know, busy doing, and then they wouldn't answer the phone because the switchboards were always lit up. So I have to tell you, of all the books I've written, a dozen books, this was the hardest one.
Right.
But I think it's the best one, you know.
Right, to nail down all the people. And, you know, you are a speaker, too, and you've spoken all over the place, and you've spoken, you know, at the from whether it's a county fair somewhere to the CIA. Are they really uptight when you go and talk in front of the CIA? How do you warm up the CIA?
That was funny. We were invited to speak. There's a writer's group in the CIA. And since Steve and I both write books alone and books together, we have a book series called Recipes from Historic America, they wanted us to come and talk. And so that was really fun, because they have two museums, and you can spend the whole day at the CIA. And we were friends with a couple of the guys who used to be the head of it. So it was very interesting.
If somebody was going to Washington, because, you know, we're broadcasting the show from Washington, if someone was a tourist, what would you tell them the number one thing is they need to see? Because you just mentioned the CIA Museum, you mentioned Mount Vernon, Washington's home. What would you say somebody needs to see that's listening to America Tonight?
I absolutely think any of the main monuments. And to take, I was just there a few weeks ago, and I have to tell you, one of my favorite things, that after living there all those years, I took the Red Bus tour at night, which is the double-decker bus and you sit up on the top. I think it's the best tour ever. And I tell my readers to do that, because you get a sense of the city if you haven't been there before, and that the guides are fantastic.
All right, Red Bus Tour at Night. We've got to pick up the book. The book is it's terrific, Helping a Hero. I think it's fabulous that you're doing that. Capitol Hill Books. Pick it up, folks. Linda Bauer, thanks so much for joining us on ATN.
Thank you.
I have bought a few bottles of Heart and Body Extract and have to say that it certainly does work.
That's what Jack from Michigan had to say after his experience with heart pain and what he did to treat it with Heart and Body Extract.
I actually had a huge heart flutter. I was also having some edema around my ankles and very worrisome clot in my right leg that would happen from time to time while I was trying to sleep.
Heart and Body Extract is all natural with no negative side effects. It will help repair or correct past problems associated with the heart and body circulation.
After my second bottle of Heart and Body Extract, all problems are now gone.
Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
I ordered a third bottle of Heart and Body Extract for maintenance, as I want to keep everything working.
Order Heart and Body Extract at 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract for a long and healthy life.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you, too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
That's the sound of your door being kicked in by an intruder with a single kick. That's the sound of the same door now protected by the Door Sentinel at MySafeDoor.com. Go to MySafeDoor.com right now and watch the amazing video. At MySafeDoor.com, you'll learn how to turn your home into a fortress with the Door Sentinel. 16 kicks later, and the Door Sentinel is still holding strong. MySafeDoor.com. That's MySafeDoor.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
For years, you've been hearing about Herbal Healer Academy and how it's remained the leader in effective, alternative, and natural medicine and education. But how can they continue to hold that title for years on end? The answer is high quality and huge selection. Just visit herbalhealer.com and shop online or request a free catalog. You're bound to find the alternative you're looking for. Did you know that Herbal Healer carries the latest, safest, and effective weight loss products? You can also count on Herbal Healer for the largest selection of safe and natural supplements just for children. And don't forget your pets. Herbal Healer even has natural mineral supplements for all your animals, including horses, cows, and birds. Take a peek at their online calendar, and you're sure to find everything you need and maybe something you didn't realize you needed. Visit HerbalHealer.com and don't forget to sign up for the free Herbal Healer newsletter. HerbalHealer.com, working with the power of nature.
All right, here we are in Washington, D.C., continuing our conversations about health care and the Supreme Court challenge. Elizabeth Hyder is with us. She's the chief counsel, this is big, for the Constitutional Accountability Society, or CAC, right? Is that what it is?
I mean, we usually say CAC.
All right, so you don't like CAC. CAC. Wow, so this sounds like a very big title. Obviously, you've done Supreme Court legislation before, am I correct?
Yes.
And what's that like? Before we dive into all this other stuff, what was that? Take us back to the first time you did that. What was that like?
Well, you know, it's always, I remember the first time I went to the Supreme Court.
Right.
Was in a high school trip with my government class. And being the con law loving nerd that I was, I nearly peed my pants because it was so exciting to just be in front of the justices and, you know, in this hallowed court of justice. So I was meant to do this, essentially, is what I'm saying. And, you know, it's very exciting. Every time I file a brief in the court, every time I go and listen to arguments, I think it's very inspiring, even when I vehemently disagree. You know, I graduated law school the year after Bush v. Gore was decided. And for someone who obviously holds the Supreme Court in such high esteem, it was a very, very troubling time. But I think that I still have great faith in the court. And I have great faith that they'll do the right thing in the Affordable Care case.
All right, so talk about the Affordable Care case, because, and we'll back this up in talking about CAC. It's a think tank, right?
We're talking a law firm, Action Center.
Right? That's that. The push is the promise of the Constitution's text, as I understand it, and the history. So this is big. We talk about the Constitution a lot, and the Constitution has been bandied about with this law.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us why constitutionally this should stand.
So, you know, the Tea Party version of the Constitution bears little resemblance to our actual Constitution. You know, we had that weak central government that they advocate for, and it was in the Articles of Confederation, which was the precursor to our actual enduring Constitution. And that was such a failure, so dysfunctional, that George Washington said it nearly cost us victory in the Revolutionary War. So when the founders came together to draft our Constitution, they wanted to create a federal government that had sufficient power to enact national solutions to national problems. And that's exactly what Congress did when it looked at the healthcare crisis that we have in this country, with millions of Americans unable to get access to quality, affordable health care. And so there are, you know, to get a little more technical, the support the support for the Affordable Care Act comes from three main provisions in the Constitution. First, the Congress's power to regulate interstate commerce.
Which is what they're talking about day one.
So they'll probably talk about that tomorrow.
For the mandate?
Yes.
Okay.
And, you know, with the healthcare industry comprising nearly 20% of our nation's economy, it's really hard to see how that isn't interstate commerce. Two, Congress's power to tax and spend for the general welfare. And that came up a little bit today in the discussions, whether or not the penalty for failing to purchase health insurance is a tax or whether it's, you know, something different. But third, and this I think is something that a lot of people overlook but is really important, so in addition to these specific powers that the Constitution gives Congress, the Constitution also says that Congress shall have the power to pass laws that are, quote, necessary and proper to carrying out those other powers. And that is, you know, as our founders, Alexander Hamilton, George Washington, recognized, that is a very sweeping power given to Congress to use its judgment to find rational means of implementing their powers. And so what the challengers to the mandate are essentially doing is seeking a political do-over in the courts for a law that they don't like. But the Constitution says that, you know, as long as the law is, you know, doesn't violate any other provision of the Constitution, and, you know, last time I checked, there was no right to freeload off one's neighbors if you don't want to purchase health insurance, then, you know, the courts should defer to Congress's judgment that the mandate was a reasonable means of implementing other provisions that are clearly constitutional, like the requirement that insurance companies provide insurance to folks who have pre-existing conditions. And so, you know, honestly, I think that this is a case where the constitutionality of the law is actually really quite clear.
And, you know, your counterparts to that, what the argument is, they'll say that it's government intervention and the Constitution, is what you said, the Constitution doesn't call for that, that it's too much of an expansion of the Constitution, of that term, and in using nationality. So do you think that'll be shot down? You were in the court.
Yeah. So in court this morning, the question was whether you have to pay a tax first and sue after. And so obviously here they're challenging the tax penalty that you would pay if you didn't purchase insurance. And so, you know, there's an argument that, well, we might have to wait to consider the constitutionality of the mandate until we actually pay that tax, which would probably be, you know, 2015, I guess.
Sure.
But the justices didn't seem inclined to delay ruling on the merits. So I think that, you know, when we're in court tomorrow and Wednesday, listening to the real meat of the challenge, you know, tomorrow is the challenge, is argument on the challenge to the mandate. Wednesday, we get argument on the challenge to the Medicaid expansion in the Act.
Yeah.
You know, I think we're going to get to those issues, And I think we're going to get a ruling on them by the end of the term in June.
You said something interesting. You said, you know, if you looked at our founding fathers freeloading off of our neighbors, is there something that people don't understand that they're already paying for? I have insurance. You have insurance. My husband's family has insurance. My mother has insurance. That all of us are paying for the people who don't have insurance, that it's a hidden cost?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, the uninsured shift about $43 billion a year onto other market participants. And that's, you know, people who have insurance. You know, I think the numbers are that the uninsured, their uncompensated care makes the average American family's premium go up about $1,000 a year. I mean, that's real money to Americans who are playing by the rules, being responsible, purchasing health insurance, and making sure that they're not shifting these costs onto their neighbors and taxpayers. So this is real money. It's, you know, hospitals pay when folks come into the emergency room without insurance and run up bills that they can't afford to pay, and they pass those costs on. The taxpayers have about an extra $30 billion a year in extra burden because folks choose to be uninsured or can't purchase insurance because they can't afford it or because they can't get insurance at any cost because they have a pre-existing condition.
Yeah. You're familiar with the court. I love to, yeah, it's just like when I do sports. We're doing the Final Four, predicting who's going to win, what's going to happen. So, and you've been an attorney since, what did you say, you graduated
2001.
Yeah. And you've been, you know, filed briefs with the Supreme Court. You know the makeup of the court pretty well, I would say. So what do you think happens here? I mean, if you were going to crystal ball it for us, which is what you are here and you're doing, I'm sure. What do you say is going to happen?
Well, you know, I, especially being a lawyer, I feel like I have to give the disclaimer that, you know, you never know what the court's going to do. You never know how the, you know, whether the ball is going to tip in or out of the basket. But, you know, I think there's a, frankly, a good chance that we could see some conservative justices join with the more liberal justices to uphold the constitutionality of the act. And I say that because there have been some decisions recently that were authored by conservative justices or joined by conservative justices that really support significant federal power in the areas of the Commerce Clause and the Necessary and Proper Clause. So I could see Chief Justice Roberts, the swing vote, Anthony Kennedy, and even Justice Scalia coming over to the other side. I mean, Scalia wrote this opinion a few years ago in a case involving growing medicinal marijuana in your backyard for personal use in accordance with state law. It was legal in that state.
Sure.
And he said that the federal government could ban that. And so if you can ban a person who is growing medical marijuana for her own use in her backyard, I mean, you know, $43 billion a year of uninsured costs shifting to other market participants, gosh, that sounds a lot more like interstate commerce to me than what Justice Scalia has already said is constitutional.
Yeah.
So,
a lot of people are talking about that one. Do you think, because you see the speed of the court, I'm kind of spitballing with attorneys I know. We think by July 4th. What do you think?
Well, traditionally, the court's term ends the last day in June. And so, you know, traditionally, that's when you would get the opinion by. They can extend the term, but I think that they will want to get this opinion out. And, you know, it's very convenient for them that they do it on the last day of the term and then get the heck out of town and we're all left to deal with the aftermath.
No comment about fishing.
Right, exactly.
I've done my deal. What a pleasure. You're going to be in court tomorrow again?
Absolutely. And here on Wednesday to, you know, our state legislators care deeply about the Medicaid expansion that the court will be considering on Wednesday. So
right.
I'll be there.
That's a big one. Elizabeth, thank you so much. We're going to continue here on America Tonight.
My pleasure.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
A healthy heart starts with Extendovite. I've always believed that I had to have a strong defense to overcome the new superbugs of today. Extendovite, a 7-herb heart protection cocktail, not only helped me to overcome a massive heart attack, but it also has built up my natural immune defenses against colds and flus. Extendivite has so many benefits that we all should be taking Extendivite to build up our defenses for what superbugs might emerge yet. So start today, clean out the toxins, and be as healthy as you can be. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
If you are a sales professional and you love to help people and make money, stop everything and listen to me now. InspectorAudit.com is hiring brokers nationwide. InspectorAudit.com is the primary source for exposing all loan-related bank and servicing fraud. If you're passionate, driven to succeed, and you want to earn real money, then we want you. Call InspectorAudit.com right now at 855-552-9932. InspectorAudit.com, 855-552-9932. Commissions paid daily.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Spring is here, growing season. The economy is not getting any better. In fact, it's getting worse. Think about it. At this rate, how will your life be in a month or even a year? Maybe you've been putting things off, but the time to act is now. The country is running out of food. You need to get your seeds before it's too late. At OrganicaSeed.com, you'll find one of the largest online selections of heirloom seeds, survival seed packs, as well as the giant vegetable seed collections that can feed you and your family for years. Grow your very own fresh vegetables, wheatgrass, fruits, herbs, rice, tea, coffee, and tobacco. With detailed growing guides available to you at no charge, you can maximize your harvest and investment. And the best part? All orders ship within 24 hours. So head over to OrganicaSeed.com. That's OrganicaSeed.com. OrganicaSeed.com today.
Talking about the what we think is going to be the 3 days of oral arguments before the Supreme Court. We'll see what happens after day one. And we're here in Washington, D.C., looking at all angles of this thing, of course. Judy Waxman joins us. We've talked to Judy before. She's the Vice President of Health and Reproductive Rights at the National Women's Law Center. We had a great conversation with her last time. Now, here we are. We were talking about misconceptions and what people didn't understand and what the coverage would be. Now, here we are with this actual challenge. Judy, as you look at this coming back, and now this is, there's a possibility, depending on what the court rules, it could be shoved off because of looking at a commerce law. It could be shoved off until maybe 2014, 2015 and get challenged again and just stay in place and
right.
and roll out. Or you hear the 3 days and then ultimately the justices decide probably around 4th of July, let's say, or, you know, we know when the court wraps up in June. How, for you, watching this from the legal aspect and watching how this is unfolding, how does it make you feel? Because this has been such a big, it's like giving birth to a baby, I think, for you. Yeah, I'm just going to assume
well,
that.
Well, there's a lot of pain and then joy when it finally got passed, if that's what you mean.
Right, that's what I mean. So now this is being challenged. So how does you know,
well,
what's your emotion
very
when you watch
hopeful.
This?
I will say it's scary, of course, because you never know what these people are going to do. But all signs point in the right direction. We, in fact, did submit an amicus brief, a friend of the court brief, as it's called, with 60 other organizations signing on. And our point was a little different than maybe folks have heard about before. What we said is that women are discriminated against in the healthcare system,
And there's lots of evidence to show that this law was passed, at least in part, to end that discrimination. And like other non-discrimination laws that have been held constitutional, this one will be upheld on that grounds as well.
And so when you say that for women, there's some people that don't understand. They'll listen and say, what is she talking about? Let's say there's a woman who's out there that says, well, we have coverage. I don't know what she means by that. Because my husband says, or we hear, that the premiums are going to go up. What don't they understand? Like mammograms, for example.
Yes. Well, mammograms are now going to be covered by all health plans without a copay. That is not true in the past, but moving forward, all plans will have to cover mammograms.
Were there a lot of women, in your opinion, that didn't get mammograms because they would have to pay $200, $300, whatever it was,
yes,
dollars?
Yes, the numbers are not that good for how many women do not get their mammograms. Now, of course, there can be a lot of reasons why they don't. But certainly, having a significant copay, or sometimes any copay at all, is a major barrier, which will be gone now.
Yeah. What in looking at this, for younger women, older women, younger women, do you think it's just connected? You could take a string and connect it. Are there mothers, in other words, that are saying, we need this coverage for my daughter. She's just graduating from college. You know, that kind of thing.
Well, there's certainly that. I mean, my own daughter is just out of college, and we're happy to report she did get a job with health insurance, which is really fairly unusual these days. But it was a burden lifted that we knew that we could keep her on our plan if she really had to, if it came to that, that she wouldn't have to go out in the individual market, or we wouldn't have to go out and buy a plan in which she was likely to be charged significantly more than a man for the same thing. Possibly not have contraception covered. Certainly, if it was, it would be with a copay. And all those things will be history as soon as this law gets into effect.
Do you feel pretty confident that it'll just stay?
I do. I feel very confident looking at what the justices have decided in the past, looking at the fact that very conservative justices have upheld the law in the lower courts. I, of course, always worry some. That is my nature. But I'm overall really pretty confident that we are going to uphold this law and move forward. I mean, this happens in our history. You know, Social Security's challenged, Medicare's challenged. When there's some big program like this, they're always challenged. But I'm feeling pretty good that we are going to just march along and move ahead.
All right, Judy, thank you so much for stopping by. Once again, it's good to see you. We'll see what happens with the Supremes in the next couple of days here.
Indeed. Thanks for having me.
Thanks.
Okay.
Thanks. Ready? All right, here we go. All right, just heard from Judy Waxman. Of course, we're looking at all angles of health care right here in Washington, D.C. Walking up, I noticed the Supreme Court is interesting. You had a lot of pro, a lot of con, a lot of really calm protesters, though, not people screaming and angry at each other, which I got to say was pretty refreshing, without a doubt. So when we look at these 3 days of events, day one is basically deciding the fate of whether or not this moves forward. And that's what the justices are looking at, certainly today on Monday and into Tuesday. The court's hearing 90 minutes of arguments on whether the three-judge panel of the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals was right, and the whole case has to either be, you know, put on hold or what happens after that. And we're really talking about the law that I explained briefly at the top of this, the Anti-Injunction Act. You got to go back to the 1800s, folks, 1867, which bars challenges to tax laws before they're enforced, basically, because the requirement to buy health insurance is backed by an IRS penalty. So what does that mean? That means that whatever happens here, if they decide the challenges to the law are premature, then that would mean we're probably looking at 2015, like I said before, maybe April, before somebody could actually file, which would happen. I'm sure there would be other lawsuits. And, you know, because then you're talking about the first penalties that would have to be paid. So what's going to be interesting in reading about some of this is, in the two that are arguing, in one brief, one of the lawyers, Washington attorney Robert Long, is saying that Congress provided that the penalty should be assessed and collected in the same manner is taxes, and he's saying that the Anti-Injunction Act defines taxes as penalties. So is it penalties or not? Now, Paul Clement, he's also involved in this, the other angle, a former Solicitor General under George W. Bush, President Bush, is going to argue before the justices as the state's counterpart, the state's lawyer, saying that the mandate, not the penalty, is being challenged. So the mandate makes a huge, huge difference there. So let's say that this continues. Then you have day two, which some people are calling the main event, the main course, whatever. And this is the argument over the individual mandate, which, by the way, it's interesting. That word never even comes up if you look at the statute, but it's what it's called, and it's means that everybody has to have health care, or, as I just explained, you get slapped with the IRS penalty. You know, we've been talking about that a ton here on America Tonight, the opinions galore. You can send me more at americatonight.net and just click on the email, and boom, you'll be in, because we're looking at all kinds of angles, like I said, on this, on what's happening with the Supremes and the challenge here. So the government's case is pretty clear. Congress, what they're saying is Congress has the authority to regulate interstate commerce, and that the mandate does that by regulating the financing of health care, which you heard our first guest, Ethan Rome, was talking about that, that it was necessary to carry out the changes in the insurance market, and basically that sums up what the argument would be. So the justices are only going to hear from the Justice Department, the states, and the National Federation of Independent Business. We've got somebody coming up from Independent Business to talk about it, to talk about what they filed. That's all part of the lawsuit. And, you know, it's interesting. I was looking at how many briefs were filed. Well, 46, and this is just on the individual mandate, 46 opposing the mandate, 32 supporting it. If we look at how many in general were filed, we're looking at 130 amicus briefs. You heard Judy Waxman mention that, 130 amicus briefs. Can you imagine? And, you know, this affects us. This is 18% of our economy that we're talking about. And how many millions of us does the health care law ultimately impact? So many of you listening to me frustrated with your premiums going up, confused as to why that's happening, and concerned about businesses who have called this show to say that if the whole law is rolled out, they're not going to offer insurance to their employees. So without a doubt, could there be a bigger moment in our history? Certainly for the Supreme Court, you have to go back to the hanging chads, right, guys, to look at something, I think, this important. And that's why the unprecedented 6 hours is so huge. As I mentioned, over the next couple days, we'll be looking at this. You're going to have a chance to weigh in this on our Tuesday show, our Tuesday actually into Wednesday show. So remember, pay attention to some of the stuff that you're hearing, and we'll talk about that. And don't forget, also coming up later in the week, another Nail the Scores. We have the final four set. Nobody nailed the score, by the way, last time out. Too bad. Kate Delaney, of course, here on America Tonight, broadcasting live from Washington. Hang with us, much more to come.